Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
I'm hoping this isn't one of those things that a pastor talks about every once in a while where, like, I'm really excited, but everybody else is going to be like, okay. I was at training all week. Super fun. Woo! It's a field training officer course, so it's just teaching me to teach other people, right? And one thing we talked about were, like, our mindsets. And there's the fixed mindset and there's a growth mindset, right? And for me, I've always thought that there's always a way for me to improve. Like, if I don't know something, I can learn it, right? There's nothing that's going to be beyond me. Not because I think I'm smart, but because I know who my God is. Okay, so the thing is they showed this diagram, and it was this heads of, like, from a brain scan, and it showed the people who were faced with their mistakes, the people with the fixed mindset. There's nothing going on in there. Nothing. But the people with the growth mindset, their brain was like on fire. It was like lighting up because they were looking for a way to do better, to continue on, right? And it's like, well, what does this have to do with church, right? The thing that came to me in that moment was, there's people in the church that do that. Not necessarily with, you know, being confronted with errors, but, like, God asks you to do something, tell him, well, that's not me. Right? Has anybody ever asked you to do something and you're like, no, that's not me? Ever? You know, I've seen it all the time, like, once again, not so much church-wise, but, like, technology, right? Somebody come to me because, like, I've done computer repair, software stuff, okay? And people tell me, well, I just don't understand that stuff. Or ask them to do one little simple thing. It's like, no, can't do that. It's like, it's on the screen right there. Just read it. No, it's not there. And then I have them read everything on the screen one by one by one by one. And guess what? It's there. But you know why that is? They didn't see it? Because they didn't even try. Because they're thinking, that's not me. I'm not the computer person. Okay, there's so many times where we in the body of Christ are being asked by God to do something, and we just tell God, that's not me. Like Moses. Remember, Lord, I don't speak well. I stutter, right? And I'll tell you, I feel the same way. Now, I don't stutter, but, like, there's times where, like, I know that the words aren't going to come out of my head right. Like, it's clear in my mind, but, like, here, out the mouth, it doesn't come out the right way. So the thing is, like I told you, I know who my God is, right? I know what He's called me to do. And it's something where God equipped me to do those things. And all I had to do is say, God, I trust you. I'm going to do that. That's what each and every one of us needs to do. If God says to do something that's slightly out of your comfort zone, make sure you say, yes, God, I will do it because I believe that you will equip me. I believe you gave me a Holy Spirit that's going to empower me to do it. Okay, there's a scripture here. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. However it is written, what no eye has seen, and what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. These are the things God has revealed to us by His Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Okay, just think about it this way. If you're one of those people like, well, I read the Bible, but I don't understand it. You have the Holy Spirit. You can understand it. Because later on in this chapter, it says you have been given the mind of Christ. That means God has given you the ability to know Him better. So let me just encourage you to get rid of that mindset where you think you can't do something. Okay, so many times we just focus on, like, you know, God can heal me, he can take care of me, he can pay my bills, he can, you know, give me a place to live, he can do all these other things, right? But we forget about what he can do so that we can serve him better. Okay, so let me just tell you, don't think because God's put something on your heart to do and you're not that type of person that you can't do it. Because when you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, when God asks you to do something, he's going to equip you to do it. So let me just encourage you to find out whatever that is. I'm going to say this over and over, week after week. Find what it is you're supposed to do for God and do it. And he will bless you. He will give you peace. He will give you joy. And he will also equip you so that you can do it.
The Lord has me in the process of moving. Doesn't mean I'm not going to be here. It just means I'm going to have a longer ride. I have a beautiful house here in Green Valley that it was time to get rid of because it's too big for me. Too much upkeep and expense with it. So I've piled everything, almost everything that I own in an RV garage, you can imagine. You've probably moved before. It's like a mountain in there on both sides. And in, you can't get to the back of it anymore. It's just clutter with everything. But, you know, I've been looking for houses in different areas. And a number of people spoke to me about Rio Rico. And they said, it's really beautiful down there. And the people are friendly. And there's all this good stuff happening. So I went down there. Actually, I went online first looking for a home. And this house really jumped out at me. It turns out that, well, I don't want to get to the punchline too quickly, but we looked at a couple of houses. The other one that my realtor told me to go look at had dog poop and rat poop, and it was horrible. And I'm thinking, how can you charge over $100,000 or, you know, $300,000 for this house? It's nasty. It was not pretty. But the house that I was looking at and I wanted was immaculate. It's got this beautiful view of the entire valley, nice, from like halfway up a mountain. And I had the raptor, the hawks that we have around here. They were coming, sitting in the backyard. There's a slope that goes down to another level where there's some other houses, but that creates this updraft, and the birds all want to ride the thermals, right? So right at eye level, these guys are coming right across us, and I love birds. Can you tell? So, okay, here's the punchline. My house, the contract that was on my house is now accepted and agreed upon. So that's a done deal.
Praise God.
I've got that.
Come on.
And yeah. 2 days later, the same day I went and I looked at that house, we came back, we put a contract on it, contingent for the sale of my house. And my realtor called me up at 8:30 at night. She said, "We got an early reply, and it's a good one." So in 3 days, I sold my house here,
Thank you,
bought another one down there,
Thank you, Lord.
The contracts are done.
Amen. Amen. Praise God.
I'm thrilled beyond words. Yes,
God.
It was God all the way.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody puts those things together and makes it happen like that. There's no such thing as coincidence, my friend.
That's right. Come on, brother.
This was a God thing.
Yeah.
All the way. So I'm rejoicing. Rejoice with me.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Been praying for Steve. Amen. I know a lot of folks have been praying for him, man. And I know God always comes through. Amen. That's right. He takes care of us. Amen. How many are God? How many are glad that God takes care of you? Amen. Come on. Yeah, that's kind of a cheap thought, clap. Come on. Are you glad that God? Are you glad? Let's tell him thank you, Lord. Thank you for watching over us. Thank you, Lord, for all that you do. Hallelujah. Thank you, worship team. If you guys want to have a seat, glory to God. Got to get going. We've got somebody to get wet today. Amen. And hopefully more than just one. We'll see. Amen. Hallelujah. How many know that God can do anything he wants? How many know that? How many know that God can take you out of your problems right now? Amen. Hallelujah. But see, God's not into us getting us out of problems. How many say amen to that? He is into changing our hearts that causes the problem to resolve. How many say amen to that? It doesn't do any good if he gets you out of the problem if you're going to get that problem again and you have no idea how to get through it. Amen. He wants you to learn to trust him. You got to learn that he has already seen your life from the beginning of the foundation of the earth. He's already seen it. He's already designed it. And he knows what you're walking through. And he is never going to forget about you. He's always going to be watching over you. How many say amen to that? Amen. How many know that God is perfect? A couple of you? Yeah, a couple of you know that. How many know that God's perfect? Is that right? He is perfect. The Bible says that his ways are perfect. How many say his way is perfect? Amen. There's another place where it says his work is perfect. How many believe that? Yeah. How many of you know? How many of you know that you are the work of God? Do you know that? And the perfection of Christ is, if you've accepted Christ into your life, the perfection of Christ is within you. Do you know that? It's an incredible mystery. The simplicity of the mystery is so cool, so good, and yet we still struggle. Amen? How many know we go through struggles? The Word of God says in this world you're going to have tribulation. Why? Because he's bringing the perfection in a better way, different way into your life. Can I say that to you? God knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through, and he's not going to give up on you. He's not going to forget about you. He knows. And everything you go through works together for your good. Do you know that? All things work together for your good. To those that love God and to those that are called according to his purpose. Amen. To his way. Amen. Come on, man. It's his way, not yours. Hallelujah. He's paid a price for you so that you might understand and acknowledge and know him in a way that is so, I guess, personal to you. Is that okay? Is that a good word? God wants to be so personal to you. He wants to be so close to you. He wants, he wants to walk with you. Amen? Hallelujah. How many, God is good. Let me say, a lot of folks always say all the time, amen? God is good all the time. Is that right? Yeah, even when you wreck your car. All the time. Amen? Hallelujah. Oh, God, you're so good. He's good. And his mercies endure forever. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, today, the Lord kind of gave me this message early. I think it was Tuesday when I was out in the back and reading the Word of God. And the mornings have been beautiful. How many say amen? They've been beautiful. So I take my Bible and I go out on the back porch and I'm reading, and God began to pour a message into me. And finished it last night. Got to a point in the message where I wasn't sure which way to go. And I said, God, I'm too tired to pick which way to go. Amen. God, you got to show me which way do you want me to go? And it was a little different. He showed me that some things. And I will tell you, you know, when God called me this to preach the word, he gave me a word for my calling. He gave me a vision. And this vision, I didn't realize what I was seeing. I thought I was seeing something different, but actually what I was seeing was the work that's here at this house. And in the vision, at the end of the vision, he spoke a word to me. And so I call it the word of my calling, if you will. And the word was, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. So if you're gonna, if somebody's gonna reprove you, exhort you, tell them, hey, show me the word for that. Amen. Because it's got to be with long suffering. In other words, hey, man, I've suffered long with this. I'm gonna speak this to you, but I'll also show you the doctrine, the word of God that talks to you about this. Amen. I told the Lord when he spoke that to me, when he gave me, that's Timothy, and when he gave me that scripture, I said, Lord, I said, hey, be instant. I said, preach the word. I can do that as long as you're with me. Be instant in season and out of season. God, I can do that as long as you're with me. But then I said, reprove, rebuke, and exhort your people. I don't think I can do that. He says, you'll do it the same way for the first two. I'll be with you. So if you will, today the message is a little bit different. It's more of a reproof to the body of Christ than it is. It is something that God is looking at in the body and he wants to change things. How many believe God wants to change things? How many believe that God is looking at you and, you know, hey, though that which is perfect dwells in us, we still have changes that need to be met. How many say amen to that? I mean, he's perfect. He dwells in us. This is one of the reasons you should never say, well, nobody's perfect, for an excuse. Because God doesn't raise excuses about you. You know, I was reading, and you got me like the story of the donkey that talked. What was the donkey's name? Nobody knows. It was, I was going to see if somebody say Balaam. And no, that was the writer. That was, but I love that story because in that story, the king is asking Balaam to curse the people of God. And the words that God gives Balaam, he says something like, he says, no, there's nothing, you cannot curse them. They are God's people. They are the blessed of the Lord. Amen? But then if you read what was going on with Moses and all those people were giving him a hard time. God was having fits. God kept telling Moses, get out of the way. I'm going to wipe them all out. And Moses had to keep going and pray for her. But no, God, you don't want to do that, man. You want to, you know, and so it's incredible to me how God looks at us. He looks at you with love. Can I say that to you? Do you believe it? Do you believe that when you do something wrong, he doesn't call it sin anymore? He already paid for your sin. Do you know that? Do you know that the sin has been paid for? So you make a mistake and you get out of the way for just a second. That sin, God already knew about it from the beginning of time. He knew you were going to go through it. And yet he still decided to send his son and die for you on the cross. That day that he died for you, the day that you believed that he died for you, you were nailed to that cross with him. Is that okay? And all your sins were washed away, never to be remembered again. So you're not just a sinner saved by grace. You are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Do you know that? Do you know it? Are you confident in that fact that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus? The gospel is a lot simpler than what we sometimes we make it with one another. Do you know that? Sometimes we make it very difficult. But God's not difficult. He never has been. All he's wanted to do is walk with you and talk with you. That's all he's wanted. So we're going to talk about that a little bit today. And we're going to see what happens. Amen? I'm telling you, this is a little bit different, the word today. So let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning for your word. Father, whatever's in our hearts, Lord, that is contrary to what you would have, Father, help us with that. We know, Father God, you are a loving Father to us. We know that you're long-suffering. And your mercy over us is strong. So, Father, we thank you, Lord. Let us never, Father, let us never be nonchalant about things that are contrary to you. Let us never be that way. Show us this morning, Father, in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. I need you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're going to read verses 1 through 6 in the NIV. Pastor John's real happy about that. He goes, NIV? What? Yeah, come on, man. I like the way I love the King James. I love to read things in the King James, but sometimes there's things that in the King James is just not what I want to say and how what God is trying to say. The clarity in the NIV for this scripture, I love it, man. So let's read it together. It says, listen, you heavens. Yeah, I love what Moses said. Listen, heavens, and I will speak. Hear, you earth, and the words of my mouth. Let my teaching fall like rain and my words descend like dew. Like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. Amen. This is a nice start. Amen. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. Hallelujah. Says this, he is the rock. Amen. His works are what? Perfect. Everything he does, everything God does is perfect. Amen. Hallelujah. All his ways are what? Just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Amen. Upright and just is he, they are corrupt and not his children. Oh, wait a minute, it just shifted, didn't it? It says, they are corrupt and not his children. To their shame, they are warped and crooked, a crooked generation. Isn't that, what, oh man, what's going on? Moses is talking. This is just before he turns everything over to Joshua. And he says, I want the earth to listen. I want the heavens to listen. And he goes, I want you to know that there is a generation out there. There is, to their shame, they are a warped and crooked generation. And where I want to get to is this scripture. Is this the way that you repay the Lord, you foolish and unwise people? Is he not your father, your creator, who made you and formed you? God the Father reserves the right to do anything over your life that he sees fit. How many say amen to that? Sometimes we don't get it, but he reserves that right. He says, you are mine. I remember when Paul was in Thessalonica, and he saw an image that was made on Mars Hill, and it said to the unknown God, and he told the people, he says, the unknown God that you're talking about right here, let me tell you something. I'm going to declare who he is to you. And he says, in him we live, we move, and we have our being. I mean, how many of you know that? That if God was to remove his spirit from the earth, everything would dry up and die. How many say amen? It says in the book of Job, if God was to remove his spirit, if he was to take his spirit out of even the ungodly, or if he was, they would shrivel up and die, because in him we live, we move, and we have our being. That's God. We are helpless without God. How many say amen? We can't do anything without God. Yet we think we can. Isn't that weird? We think we can do it without even consulting him. We think that we can do things and just automatically he's happy with us. And it's not so, folks. It's not. Watch this. Go to Isaiah chapter 30. Abe brought this up a while back, and it's one of my favorite. I got favorites all over the Bible, so that's really not saying a lot. But Isaiah 30 is a good place. Isaiah just 30, we're going to look at just right now for chapter 30, verse 1 and 2. It says this, woe to the rebellious children, saith the Lord, that take counsel, but not of me. that cover with a covering, but not of my spirit, that they may add sin to sin, that walk to go down into Egypt and have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be your shame, and the trust in the shadow of Egypt your confusion. Folks, can I just say this to you? The world is never going to give you what you need, period. The world has nothing for you. Is that okay? There's nothing that the world can give you that is everlasting. Is that right? Nothing. The word of God says here, he says, woe to rebellious children that cover with a covering, but not of me. Folks, he's given us a covering. Do you know that? He has given us his spirit to cover us. Can you say amen to that? It's the same covering that Adam and Eve walked with in the garden. That covering that was on them is now on you via the Holy Ghost sent by Jesus into the earth to dwell in you and to cover you. Amen? Aren't you glad that when you do something wrong, the Holy Spirit says, I got you covered. Amen? I got you covered. Isn't that good? I got you covered. I'm for you. I'm not against you. How many know God's for you and not against you? He never has been against you. He's always been for you. He's always desired to take you to places you've never been before. He always desired to show you things you've never seen before. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Folks, listen. There's a lot of people out there, when I was looking at this, this word came to mind, the you shoulders. Do you guys know what a you shoulder is? A you shoulder. God says, these people, these rebellious children, take counsel but not from me. Can I tell you something? There's going to be a lot of people. There's a lot of you shoulders in your life. They're going to tell you, you should do this or you should do that. How many of you know that? How many of you say, do you guys understand what I'm saying? You should do this. You should do that. I do that to my daughter. I do that to my son. You should do this. You should do that. I say that to them. Those words coming out of me. And God is saying, leave them alone. They belong to me. Yes, they're your children, but they belong to me. Let me lead them. Let me guide them. You shoulda, you shoulda, you shoulda. I mean, God is saying, hey, there's a lot of you shoulders out there. Sounds kind of weird. I got to be careful how I say that. You shoulders. There's a lot of you shoulders out there. Don't, folks, you've got a source. Is that right? How many know you got a source? He will show you what you need to do. Is that right? But you got to be confident in that. You got to be confident in the fact that he wants to take you, that he wants to lead you. Is that right? The word of God says for us to be led by the Spirit. Is that okay? How can he lead you if you're too busy doing everything that you think you ought to do? I was making this point where somebody was telling me that every time they go to a restaurant, the waitress is the one that they go after every time. And one of the things I said, listen, that's a great thing. How many say, man, that's a good thing. Go after, yeah, talk to him about Jesus. Yeah, it's a good thing. But what if God wants you to talk to the guy over in the corner on this side, or maybe the other lady over here behind you, and you're so busy focused on what you, this is what I do every time, you're not letting the Holy Spirit lead you and guide you. Is that okay? That's not okay. God says, I am the one that you need to listen to. Quit letting the you shoulders do things, say things to you. That would make you stop or quit. You should do this. You should do that. Stop letting them do that to you. Because we are all designed, every one of us, listen to me, we're all designed to hear from him. It really hurt my spirit when I was listening to a brother that he was preaching, and he said, I never hear God speaking to me. I go, what is that? I said, he's preaching to people, and there's a lot of people like this guy. And I said, God, I don't get that. So maybe he means something else. But he never straightened it out. I went back and listened to it again. And I thought, well, maybe I missed something. What he was talking about? No, he was talking about he never hears God's voice. Where Jesus says, my sheep know my voice. Is that right? Yeah. How many want to hear God better? Oh, man, I want to hear him. I want to hear what he has to say. I like asking people, what is God saying to you? What is God saying to you? Someone go, I don't know. But I asked a sister today, what's God saying to you? She goes, he's telling me to rise and shine. Yeah, see, come on, man. You're hearing God. Amen. Be careful with people that tell you what you should do. Unless they're telling you, you should listen to the Lord. There's a you shoulder you need to listen to. Don't listen to me, listen to him. He will lead you, he will guide you, he'll never forsake you. He created you for a purpose, and that purpose comes from him. He'll quicken it, he'll cause it to be alive. Hallelujah. Notice that the Bible says that they didn't ask at his mouth. They just went and did. That's verse 2. They go down to Egypt, have not asked at my mouth to strengthen themselves in the strength of Pharaoh, in the strength of Pharaoh, and to trust in the shadow of Egypt. Verse 3 says, therefore shall the strength of Pharaoh be what? Your shame. How many of you like working in shame? See, trusting in the world system, if you will, the world leadership. Some of you get real excited. Some of you get real hurt if your guy doesn't get elected. Is that right? Some of you just, I don't know. I hate that guy that we elected. Yeah. Some of you get real emotional because your guy didn't get elected. So what? I'm going to say that again. So what? The Word of God says that God raises him up and puts him down. God raises him up and puts him down. He tells us to pray for those that he raises up. That's what he tells us. We need to be a people that are confident that God is doing what he needs to be doing. Amen? I was talking to the folks this morning. I said, you ever heard, how many of you have heard that where the Word of God says, bind the sacrifice to the altar? How many of you ever heard that? That's in the scriptures. Bind, I should have found it, should have looked for it while I was between this morning when I said it, and because it's really a good, bind the sacrifice to the horns of the altar. Why? Folks, the Bible says that we are to be a living sacrifice, amen? Trouble with us, we keep crawling off the altar, right? So the Word of God says, bind that sacrifice to the altar. What's he saying? What is he saying? Folks, you got to be confident that no matter what you're going through, this is what God's Word says. My granddaughter is going through a lot. And it hurts me to see her go through that. I don't like it. But I said, Lord, I'm going to bind this sacrifice to the altar. Because when things are happening, what comes out of my mouth is something that God is after me about. So maybe he's just talking to me about this. But I say, you should do this, babe. You should do that. Shut up, you shooter. Amen? Bind the sacrifice to the altar where I say, hey, God says he's watching over you. God says that you belong to him. He'll never leave. He'll never hurt you. He will strengthen you. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Are you confident enough to just to stay on the altar and say, God, whatever you want, whatever you need, I'm right here. Because God does have a purpose. He does have a plan. He does have a place where he's taken you. And nobody else around you can tell you what God has for you. You have to find that on your own. We got a lot of folks that will try to prophesy to you. But every prophecy has to be looked at. Somebody prophesied. I had somebody say, you know, God's going to move you to California. I said, all right, that's cool. I'll be over there by my son. Sounded like a good prophecy to me. When I went and asked the Lord about it, it was no. I didn't say that. Okay, I'll stay right here. What do you want me to do, pastor of church? I don't want to hear that, that's for sure. No. Bind the sacrifice to the altar. Hold on. God's going to give you what you need. Amen. He's going to take you to where he wants you to go. Hallelujah. I don't know why this is coming up so much, but I know that God is speaking to some hearts. I know God is looking at hearts. I know that God is saying, hey, I am trying to get them there, but they are resisting me. They don't even know they're resisting me. He said, we are confident in ourselves. Sometimes we can unintentionally become confident in ourselves and confident in others. But God wants us to be confident in him. He says the shame of Pharaoh, those leaders, if you're putting your trust in them, it's going to be a shame to you. If you think the strength of Egypt, the world, is going to strengthen you, the word of God just said it would be our what? Look at that last word. Our confusion. It's going to be your confusion. See, God's not messing around with this stuff. He says, listen, you need to listen to me. You belong to me. So listen to what I'm telling you. Listen to my words. Go into my word. If you don't know what God wants from you, go to him. Talk to him. He will talk to you. How many know that? It says those folks have an ass at his mouth. Do you know that he wants you to ask him? It says ask and it shall be what? Ask and you shall receive, right? Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open. God says, look, it's open to you. Just ask and I'll give it to you. But for whatever reason, we think it's got to come through some other channel, some other brother, somebody that thought, oh, they're a prophet over me. And then, you know, come on. The same spirit that dwells in them dwells in you. He can teach you anything you need to know. Isn't that crazy? Jeremiah 33:3 says this. Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you don't know. Here's God's invitation for you to call to him and let him answer you. Oh, but I never hear God. I call on God and he never talks to me. He will. Be patient. Amen? Be patient to listen to him talk. Steve, sometimes it seemed like nothing was going to happen. Seemed like you're in a hole that you couldn't get out of, didn't it? But God says, I'm there all the time. I've been with you. Wait on me. Wait for me. Look for me. Because he loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. He died for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Call upon me and I will show you great and mighty things which you don't know about. Micah chapter 6 verse 8. This is our power verse. It says, he has showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of you. But to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with thy God. How easy is that? This is what he requires of you, to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. But the part that gets me is the first part. It says, he has showed you, oh man. What? That which is good. He showed you. How many say amen? He showed me. Have you been shown what's good? Oh, you've been shown. You might not even recognize how well you've been shown. Remember when I don't know who it was, came to Jesus and he says, good master. Jesus turned around. He said, why do you call me good? There is none good but God. What was he telling him? He said, he was actually telling him, yeah, I'm good because I'm God. I'm God in the flesh. Amen? Good master, that he has showed you, man, what is good. He showed you Jesus. Amen? And in with Jesus being a something God has showed us, you got to look at Jesus so you can see yourself. Is that okay? Is that all right? Let's go to John. I think it's chapter 8. And you guys remember this story because it says to have to love mercy. And this is this story. When you start at verse 1, it says that Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. And then the verse 2, it says, and then he came down into the temple. And while he was in the temple teaching, they brought a lady that was caught in adultery, even in the very act. And so they asked him, what should we do? I mean, the law says for us to stone her, but what do you say? Hoping to catch him in his words. And he began to write on the ground. He stooped down, wrote on the ground. And I believe he was writing the Ten Commandments with the finger of God, just like the Ten Commandments were written with the finger of God. He was writing the Ten Commandments. And these guys are looking, what's he writing? Hey, what is it that he's writing? They got their rocks in their hand. What's he writing? Whoa. And the Bible says that from the oldest to the youngest, they began to get convicted and they dropped their rocks and left. Amen. And he asked the lady, does any man condemn you? And she said, no, Lord. And then he said, neither do I condemn you. Merciful, merciful God. How many say amen? Yeah, adultery is a bad sin. Yeah, it is. But God's a merciful God. And he told her, he said, go and sin no more. But what I want to show you is the first verse where it says early in the morning. Well, verse chapter 1, it says that he went to the Mount of Olives. What was he doing in the Mount of Olives? The scriptures say that's where he's accustomed to go. That's where that was his prayer closet, was the mountain. And you say, man, he has showed you what is good. What's good? Seeking God above all things, early in the morning. Let me just show you some more. I'll just give you a few more scriptures just to make this point. Luke 22, verse 39 through 40 says this. He came out and went, and as he was wont, that word means accustomed, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was in that place, he said to them, pray that you enter not in temptation. This was the night that they were arrested him. Matthew chapter 14, verse 23 says this, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone, praying. Amen? Up to a mountain. Mark chapter 6, verse 46 says this, and when he had sent them away, he departed to a mountain to pray. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 says this, and it came to pass in those days that he went out to a mountain to pray and continued there all night. When was the last time you prayed all night? Come on, man. Had some ladies tell us the other night, man, when Lonnie got sick, hey, we're going to be praying all through the night. We're going to be taking turns. That's what I call praise God, man. Amen? Somebody given something to do by the Holy Ghost. Hey, I want you to pray. Luke chapter 9, verse 28 says this will be the last one. It came to pass about in the 8 days after these sayings, he took Peter and John, James, and went up into a mountain to pray. Jesus even took his buddies to pray. Jesus, most of the time, though, he spent his time alone with his Father. And he would come down and he would say things. He goes, the things that I say to you, they're not my words, but my Father told me to say you these things. The things that I do, my Father told me to do them. Jesus showed us what is good, seeking God. That's it. Seek him. Seek him like you have never sought him before. Amen. If you want to hear more from God, seek him more. Is that okay? Seek him. Don't seek to your books of all these prophets or your TV or your evangelists. Don't go to them. Go right to the throne and find out what he wants to say to you. Pastor John's wanted to change our sign above our doors out there, and I agree with them. We're going to change it. We're going to change it to say we are independently dependent upon God. Every one of us. You're dependent upon him. When you hear what he has for you, you're going to fit in the body. We had a lady say a few weeks ago that she felt like she didn't fit. We're misfits. Because a lot of times we look around and say, well, they're doing that, they're doing that, I should do it like that, maybe we try to be what they're trying to be, and God say, no, I got something that's going to cause you to fit. I have placed you in the body for a reason. Can I just say this to you, that we, as a body of Christ, we need every piece doing what it's supposed to be doing, what God has created it to do in the body. We need it. And then you'll see a functioning body of Christ. Not something that where the pastor or the associate pastor or the youth pastor has to bark out orders. This is what I want you to do. This is what you, something that you say, this is what God has given me to do in this house, in this city. Hallelujah. You must be listening to the Father. You must. Isaiah 30 verse 7 says this, the Egyptians shall help in vain. The world out there is the world, and you can't expect them to understand what we go through. Amen? You can't expect them to know. You can't expect them to give you a word or give you wisdom. You just can't. It says, the Egyptians shall help in vain and to no purpose. Therefore, I have cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. What's he talking about? Sister said this morning that while we were talking a little bit about this, this word is be still and know that I am God. That's where God wants you. He wants you to walk with him. He wants you to talk with him. He wants you to be in one-on-one communication with him. Your sons and your daughters and everyone that see and know you, they will know that you are a man or a woman of God because you're being instructed by God, and you will speak to them in those times. You will go to God and say, God, I don't know what to tell this little guy, man. He likes to steal my candy out of my cookie jar, whatever. And the Lord will give you instruction. My son, I told him, I said, hey, listen. We were at the swap meet. Everybody go to the swap meet? And I bought him some handcuffs. Oh boy, it was a big mistake. And I said, hey man, I said, and he was probably, I would say he was maybe 10 or 9, maybe 10. I'm not sure how old, I don't remember. But I said, look, mijo, you don't take these to school, because they had a real key. I said, don't take them to school. Okay, Dad. I said, you better not take these to school. Okay, Dad, okay. Well, Rosie calls me up one day, and I'm at work, and she calls me up. She goes, guess what, Henry? Guess where I'm at? I go, I've got no idea where you're at. Hairdresser? Getting your toes done? I don't know. Where are you at? She says, I'm at the fire station. Fire station? Was there a fire? She goes, no. Your son handcuffed one of the boys to the bus, and he doesn't have a key. So the fire department's going to cut that thing off. Oh, I'm going to tell you, I went from Mr. Cool to, oh, God, I can't wait till I get home. I said, when you get him to the house, you tell him to go in the bathroom. He knew what that was. Because with my kids, whenever I needed to instruct them, whenever they were doing stuff wrong, I said, go in the bathroom and wait for me. That's torture in itself. Amen? I say, oh, what? What do you think he's going to do? I said, yeah, get him in the bathroom. I'll be home in a while. So they got him cut loose, and I get home. And I was pretty upset about it, but I knew I had to calm down, because can I tell you something? God never corrects us in anger. Do you know that? He taught me that about my children. He said, I never correct you in anger. So I said, oh, I'll take that. I'll take that as a nugget. Amen. I shouldn't correct them in anger. So every time I would get upset that, I'd put them in the bathroom, and then I'd walk away, and I'd wait till I cooled off. And while I was cooling off, I was praying. I said, God, what do you want me to tell that little guy? Because he's not listening to me. He said, he goes, when you get in there, hand him the paddle. I go, what? That ain't going to work. That won't work. So I kept praying. He didn't say anything else but that. So I went in and got in the bathroom. I I was talking to Jonathan. I said, Jonathan, you really got to listen to me. I am God's representative. I mean, I'm the only thing you might know what God is like. And I said, man, I love you, man. But I got to correct you because you did something wrong. You didn't obey what I said. And I said, so I got the paddle out. How many of you have a paddle? Anybody got a paddle? So no, we don't correct our kids. I said, no, I had a paddle. I corrected my kids. I said, man, you're gonna. Where's my daughter at? I don't know. She'll tell you. Yeah. I didn't like that paddle. Well, I pulled my paddle out and I said, look. And right then, I felt what God had said to me. I knew. And I didn't realize how big of an impact it'd take. But I said, you know what, John? I'm going to give you 3 swats. No, Dad, don't do that. I said, you know what? Here, I gave him the paddle and I said, you paddled me. And I bent over and he starts crying. He says, no, Dad, I'm not going to hit you. I said, you're going to hit me. I'm going to take your paddle. I'll take it for you. And so he gave me 3 little dink, dink. And he dropped it and he starts crying. He grabbed me and we're both crying in there. And he goes, Dad, I'll never do it again. I'll never do it again. I said, I know you won't. I know you won't. It was about 2 or 3 years later. We were in California at a friend's house, and it was actually Cesar. Some of you know Cesar, but his boys were in one room, and we were in the kitchen, and they were playing music on the other side of the wall, and all of a sudden the music stopped, and they were talking, and I just kind of wondered what they were talking about. So I kind of went over and I was listening, and Jonathan was talking and he said this, you know, the first time I recognized and understood what Jesus had done for me, it was when my dad took me into the bathroom and he said, here, I'll take your swats for you. He goes, I realized right then what the cross was. I didn't realize it would have such an impact on that young man, but whatever God tells you to do, just do it. He says, I will lead you and I will guide you. I will show you great things if you'll just sit and wait with me. Can I tell you, God's not surprised by what you're going through? He's not anxious about what you're going through. The only thing he might be anxious about is about you taking your time to stop and listen to him. And now he goes, I'm anxious about you doing that. So you go, have you ever been anxious to open a Christmas present? That's kind of like what God is anxious to speak with you, to talk with you, and to allow him to show you just how great you are because of who he is in you. Is that okay? The last scripture says this. Isaiah 30 and verse 15. God is kind of going after these rebellious children. And he says this. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall you be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. And then he says this, which really just hurts my spirit. It says it, but you wouldn't. Can you imagine saying no to God? Can you imagine, as much as he loves you, as much as he wants to do good for you to just, you won't pay any attention for it. That's why Deuteronomy 6 is so important, where he says, is this the way you'll treat your God? Is this the way you're going to treat your Father who loves and cares for you and died for you? Is this the way you'll treat him? You'll ignore him. You won't go after him. It's not as hard as you believe. You might think it is. It's just your heart goes after God. Say, God, I got to have you. I don't want anything else but you. 2 Samuel 22, verse 31. Sorry, I said that last one was the last one. This is the last one. Seriously, it really is. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tested, tried. He is a buckler to all them that trust in him. Do you trust him? Do you really? I believe God is saying, if you trust me, come to me. Let's talk. Let's have a time of fellowship with my spirit. See, God wants to commune with you. This is the communion he's after. I know we like to take the bread and the wine and say we had communion, but the communion God wants is for you to commune with him, for you to hear him, for you to understand him, for you to allow him to take you to where he wants you to go. You allow him to show you who you are in him. That's the communion God wants with his people. And when you've got a people that are walking with God, can I tell you something? Your whole city is going to be changed. Because look at, just look at the numbers we got in here. Everyone's walking with God. They go out of these, and obeying God in every aspect of their walk, God begins to move on the city. I do not like the fact that we have people that are ungodly in our public schools that are teaching our children things that are ungodly. I don't like it. But what am I doing? Go protest in front of the doors? Mm-mm. In returning and rest, that's where you go. You go to God's door. You go to the throne of God. Say, God, I'm going to pray. And I know that sometimes we'll get our prayer groups and everything, but I will tell you, the best form of prayer that you can do is to pray in the Spirit. Let God pray through you. Let him open and close the doors that need to be opened and closed, and you'll find that everything that God does is, like his word says, perfect. His way is perfect. Amen? You can look at it this way. Jesus said this. Well, guess what? He said, I am the way. I am the truth, and I'm the life. His way is perfect. And his way is in you. Do you get it? Amen? Praise God. Let's stand up. We're going to pray for you real quick. Hallelujah. Consider yourself reproofed. Look at your neighbor and say, reproof. Reproof. Don't spit on him. I've been reproofed. Amen? Hallelujah. Seek God. Spend your time seeking him. Okay? Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for your people this morning. I'm asking you, Lord, that you would continue, Father, to draw us closer and closer to you. Father, your word tells us that if we draw near to you, you're going to draw near to us. Lord, I can't think of anything better than to draw near to you, Father. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing is like you, Father. So, Father, I thank you. I pray for our brothers and sisters that you would continue to build them and strengthen them in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Take a little time.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.